Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. Well, my first question to you is, tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you begin fighting fires?
Well, actually, I started in EMF, which back in those days was called first aid. I joined the Potsdam Volunteer Rescue Squad in 1956 while I was in college. I served within 3 years. My line of work was industrial safety and industrial hygiene, and I was involved with in-plant fire brigade and in-plant rescue squad, where I learned a lot about firefighting. In 1997, I took a job in Muskegon, Michigan, with a Textron company, where my title was Manager of Safety and Occupational Health. I bought a home in Whitehall, which is just a little ways north of Muskegon, and I joined the Whitehall Fire Department and also the White Lake Ambulance Authority. The local undertaker up there stopped providing ambulance service, so they joined an independent ambulance service to take the place of the undertaker.
I understand you were an EMT, and then later you became fire chief of a fire department in Michigan. Is that correct?
That's correct. I became an EMT in New York State, and in 1977, I became a paramedic in Michigan.
And then when did you become fire chief?
About 1981, somewhere around there.
Okay. All right. So you were a fire chief as well?
Yep.
All right. Well, you're retired today, but you volunteer.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. But you volunteer at the Hall of Flame Museum in Phoenix.
That is correct. When I retired from my paying job in Michigan, we moved to Phoenix, and I joined the Phoenix Fire Department in their community assistance program. At the same time, I started volunteering at the Hall of Flame.
Okay. Well, there at the Hall of Flame Museum in Phoenix, you teach the next generation of firefighters about firefighting. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I give tours to thousands of people and thousands of children. And when I say thousands, I'm not exaggerating at all. A lot of the children come from underprivileged homes, and they've never been more than a couple blocks from their house. So we give them a new experience. Also, a lot of fire cadets come and visit the Hall of Fame to find out the history of the fire service that they're about to join.
Fantastic. And have you seen that any of these kids or even teens or even adults who come and talk to you and come and visit the museum, have you noticed that they are perhaps inclined to look into firefighting themselves?
Well, some of them are. A lot of them say they, young people say they're looking into a career at being a firefighter and a paramedic.
Well, what do you tell them specifically?
Well, I tell them, I was never a paid firefighter or paramedic. I always volunteer. But I tell them it's a good, solid profession with a good pension, and I highly recommend it.
And do they ever ask you any specific questions about firefighting?
All the time.
What have been some of those most interesting questions that you've heard?
Well, some of them asked me about some of the medical things. It's very interesting. Fire departments that do emergency medical service, 80% of the calls nationwide are non-fires. Only about 20% of the calls are fires. So EMS is a big part of the firefighting, and I emphasize that.
And Gary, on a personal note, what's in your heart for volunteering and teaching the next generation about firefighting? What's in your heart for this volunteer position?
Well, I enjoy people. I enjoy helping young people. I enjoy informing people about the fire service and also about the emergency medical service. And for me, it's a hobby. I'm an elderly person, and it gives me something to do other than sit home and watch TV.
And how does that make you feel inside?
It makes me feel great.
All right. And, well, why do you continue to volunteer? You know, you've had a long career.
Well, elderly people are supposed to have contact with other people and have exercise. I have a lot of contact with people, and I get my exercise walking around in an air-conditioned museum.
All right. And here's another similar question. What's in your heart for what you do?
I just love people. I love kind people, and I love talking to children, and I like to feel that I'm part of their growing up.
What's in your heart for those people that you teach?
I try to make them a better person. I try to make them a caring person. And also, I want to help them with their journey through life.
All right, fantastic. And what's the response been from others about your guidance there at the museum? What kind of feedback do you get?
I get a lot of compliments.
Okay. And what have you heard? What kind of compliments?
That's interesting, that I have a lot of information. A lot of people say you have amazing amount of information about the fire service.
And how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel great.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's really positive there.
Yes.
How does it make you feel to know that you're making a positive difference in the lives of others, especially the kids that you reach out to or that you teach?
Well, they said a lot of the kids have limited experience. They've never been more than a couple blocks from their home. I give them an experience of getting away and what the rest of the world is like.
And that's pretty positive. How does that make you feel when you're actually teaching these kids?
It makes me feel alive, even though I'm 89 years old.
Having said that, how long do you plan to continue teaching others about firefighting?
As long as I'm above ground.
Okay. That's a long time from now.
Yeah, hopefully you're right.
Okay. All right, sir. And what's your hope for those next generation of firefighters?
I hope they learn to be a kind and caring person and be a professional person.
Before we conclude, any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today about your journey and about volunteering at the museum?
I have one favorite story I always tell. After a successful code, I was transferring a person to a hospital in Muskegon, Michigan. The person had developed a heartbeat to develop a palpable pulse. He was breathing but unconscious. I was bending over listening to him with a stethoscope. All of a sudden, he reached up, pulled the oxygen mask down, looked at me and said, "Are you St. Peter?" And I assured him he was still alive and I wasn't St. Peter. About a year later, I met the man and he asked me, he said, "I want to ask you a question. Did I really ask you if you were St. Peter?" I said, "Yes, you did." And after that, I met him a couple times and he always called me St. Peter. That's my favorite story.
All right. That's a great story, and that's a great way to end. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.